Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to celebrityqb.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest in sports news, fantasy analysis, and opinions. Don't forget the hot takes. Can't have a sports show without hot takes these days. What about hot cakes, though? I want some hot cakes. Now here's your host, ready to jump into the thick of things, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show. Thank you for taking your time to join and listen to the podcast. I had to re-record this one, so my U.S. Open breakdown is going to come first before this World Cup preview, namely because of the fact that Spain up and went and fired their head coach for accepting the opening at Real Madrid a day before the World Cup begins. I cannot express just how mind-boggling stupid this decision was. And how asinine the response was by the Spain Federation justifying a firing when you spend years planning for the World Cup. It only happens once every 4 years, and you make a knee-jerk reaction because you didn't like the fact that someone would actually want a post beyond being the head coach of the Spain national team after the World Cup concludes, which is what all managers get judged on for their performance, is how the team performs at the World Cup. You didn't like the fact that he actually had another avenue post-World Cup. It's such a childish move and stunt. I mean, there are no words that adequately describe how much disarray this puts Spain in for the World Cup, because I actually had them as one of the dark horses in the tournament. I definitely have to knock them down now. So I had to kind of redo the analysis and kind of go through what I actually think is going to happen with some of these matchups. So we'll get into that, and I'll do the preview for each group and what makes the most sense. So without much further ado, let's get right back into the World Cup preview. All right, to start things off, we got Group A, which includes the host country Russia, Uruguay, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia. Honestly, this group was tremendously impacted by one Sergio Ramos of Spain when he, of course, injured Mo Salah of Egypt courtesy of an armbar in the Champions League final less than a month ago. I mean, realistically, Egypt still has a chance of qualifying and getting into the knockout stage. But the problem is, no one knows the status of Mo Salah's shoulder. I mean, if anyone does, they're lying. I mean, that's the biggest issue with this group. Uruguay, by default, I would have to put in as the favorite, just because of the fact that they don't have any injury issues. It's Luis Suarez just not acting like an idiot is their biggest issue that they would have to contend with overall. But from a team dynamic standpoint, Uruguay is the deepest team overall. It's just a matter of the fact that this is just a weak group in general. Russia has lost their last seven matchups. I mean, let's be clear here. You know, they've lost their last seven match. Well, I shouldn't say they've lost their last seven matchups. They're just winless in their last seven. They've lost four out of the seven. You know, they just did not look good against Austria or Turkey. I'm not exactly enamored with Russia. It's just the fact that, you know, I don't like putting wishes and chances on guys with jacked up shoulders. So I would say that Russia is probably the favorite to finish second in the group now. They were not in that if we were talking about this a month ago. So Egypt, I've got in third. Saudi Arabia, you know, they're here for the cup of tea and the world exposure just because they qualified in one of the weakest groups there is. Oh, and in other news, there is probably going to be the U.S. Bid with Canada and Mexico that's going to win out in the voting. Hasn't happened as of yet, but I mean, it's pretty much a lock that the 2026 bid is going to go to North America with the expansion to 48 teams. So the tournament's going to be even further watered down, but, you know, I will, I'll expand upon this, later, but, you know, just from a practicality standpoint, this is just a weak, weak, group. I mean, I'm not even sure if Saudi Arabia is going to get any points in this group, to be perfectly honest. Russia should be able to beat Saudi Arabia, and, you know, if they can manage to avoid losing to Egypt, I think they would stand a good chance. I just don't know what Egypt's going to be able to bring to the table if Mo Salah can't go. I mean, they are pretty much pedestrian without Salah in the mix, because the next key contributor would be Mohamed Elneny and Abdallah El Saeed. You know, it's still, it's still just a kind of mixed bag. Elneny is a holding midfielder. I mean, again, he's not going to be offering too much value out of the backfield. And El Saeed would be the next attacking option in the midfield. But if Salah's not healthy and he can't fully go, this is going to be pretty much a just an unwatchable group overall, if I could be perfectly honest here. The curious thing here is just to see how good you can get out of Uruguay, because between Luis Suarez and Edinson Cavani, between Cavani and Suarez alone, they should only really need to be able to play one up top for the opening round and just keep both these guys fresh. You know, I'm not quite sure what formation that they're probably going to line up in. It may be a case where you do see both Suarez and Cavani up top, just to get a little bit of a mix in there. But I would say that it would make sense if they go with the 4-4-2, that, you know, Suarez and Cavani play the first game just to get their legs under them. But I just would not be surprised if they start rotating them out, because this is such a weak group. Like I said, they don't need Suarez and Cavani playing three games early, especially with Cavani. I'd rather just save him and his legs for when they actually need to use him in the knockout rounds, because they should finish at the top of the group without much difficulty at all. So, moving on to Group B. You know, Portugal and Spain stand head and shoulders above the rest here. You got Morocco and Iran rounding out the groups here. I mean, again, this was always going to come down to who's going to finish first in the group. Obviously, if you finish first in your group, you play the runner-up in an opposing division in the group stage knockout rounds. So, obviously, you want to finish first in your group. This was a toss-up, to be perfectly honest, initially, when the draw was announced, just because of the standpoint of Spain and Portugal have two of the deepest lineups imaginable. You know, I gave the slight edge to Spain originally, just because Portugal traditionally starts out slow in their opening matchup, blows the doors off of the opponent in the second game, and the third game just comes down to a matter of where they are in the standings. Sometimes they'll play it safe, just to coast through on points. Other times they'll just take out the team if they need the points. You know, the interesting mark here is that Spain and Portugal open up World Cup play against each other. I kind of look at this as a case where, you know, the two prohibitive favorites, Spain and Portugal, I have to flip-flop it now because of Spain and the ludicrous decision to fire Julen Lopetegui. I mean, again, you cannot fire an undefeated head coach before the World Cup starts. This is just nonsense. It doesn't make any sense from a tactical standpoint. Everything that you've been coaching up beforehand has just got thrown out the window. You know, it's just not even remotely a sound strategy. So you've got that mess to deal with. Compiled on the fact that you've got a really talented Portugal squad you're going up against. This could be a case where Portugal wins the first game, even though they typically start out slow, and then cruises through the group, because there's not going to be any resistance from Morocco, in my opinion. I think their chances are overblown here. I'm just not sold on a Morocco squad, and Iran is just here for the cup of tea. The biggest issue is the fact that I just thought that this was a case where people were talking up Morocco just because they play more of a diamond formation with a striker up top. I'm just not exactly convinced that Morocco's going to pose much of a challenge, if any, to Spain and Portugal. It's just the fact that, people are going to talk about Cristiano Ronaldo. That's not, that really is not the case with Portugal squad. I mean, from my standpoint, the biggest thing you got to look out for with Portugal is just the roster depth that they have on their defense and in the midfield. They have a number of players that have experience, but you can also flip out for younger players as well. So if for whatever reason Jose Font can't hang it on that back line, they actually do have folks that they can use on the back line instead. And in the midfield, you got Moutinho and Bernardo Silva that would actually be pushing the pace of play. I would actually look for Portugal to be one of my favorites to actually get to the final. I know people will still say that even with Lopetegui being fired, you know, if you're putting together a team with Iniesta, Isco, and David Silva, you're going to get into deep into the World Cup regardless. My standpoint is I'm not worried about Spain getting into the group stage. My issue is, how are they going to advance past the group stage?
Hey, Throwdown Nation. Are you at the bottom of your fantasy league wondering what is going on with your quarterback? Well, I think I've got a new show that may just fit the bill for you. The show is called Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks to get your burning questions answered, such as, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Can Aaron Rodgers actually play a full season on one healthy leg? And can Dak Prescott actually lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl in spite of Jerry Jones? Coach Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud have got you covered on all things quarterbacks. Listen now on Apple Podcasts or any major media platform. celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Without actually having proper tactics, because I guarantee that there's going to be a greater focus paid to Sergio Ramos and all of his antics after that Champions League final. So guarantee he's going to rack up cards in the initial group stage here, and probably might not be available for the knockout rounds. I'm just throwing that out there because of the fact that, you know, that Salah injury raised a lot of eyebrows, compounded with the fact that the refs also missed the elbow he gave to Karius in the Champions League final. I would not be shocked if Ramos was paid a lot of scrutiny by the refs and did not get any breaks in terms of the officiating. Obviously, David De Gea goes without saying, one of the best keepers in the world. You know, Spain has a very deep squad. Both Spain and Portugal are going to advance into the knockout stage. I just look at it from a standpoint, though, is that from a preparedness standpoint, Portugal's going to be far more ready than Spain tomorrow when they play. So I got to give the edge to Portugal in that matchup. And as long as they win that matchup, they're guaranteed to finish first in the group. It's not going to be a case where you've got difficulty advancing past the group stage at this point. So moving on, Group C, you've got France, Denmark, Peru, and Australia. This is one of the rumored groups of death this year's tournament, mainly from the standpoint of you've got Denmark and Peru, who are top 15 squads, and between the two of them, it's a coin flip as to who's going to advance behind France. France, top to bottom, one of the deepest squads you will see in the tournament. Honestly, between Griezmann, Giroud, and Mbappe, it's probably the most talented strike pairing in the World Cup. The only thing is, you can't play all three of them at the same time, in my opinion. I just think that one of them's got to sit on the bench and won't be happy about it. But if France is going to make a deep run, I think you've got to only be able to play two up top and then use the third to come off the bench. Giroud, more than capable of being productive off the bench. Pogba in the midfield is the biggest key for France. You know, I think he's overrated. I think he gets caught in way too many disadvantageous positions and puts his fellow defenders and midfielders in bad positions all the time, unnecessarily, in a match. It shouldn't affect them in the group stage, but stranger things have happened. And just because, Australia, even though they're not that talented, they're still a top 40 squad in the world. They can pose some issues. Denmark and Peru have talented folks that can actually make you pay. Christian Eriksen for Denmark, always dangerous at any part of the field. And you've got Kasper Schmeichel in net for Denmark. So I'm going to give the edge to Denmark ever so slightly over Peru, but it's not as though Peru can't make a run with the squad that they have in place. So, I look at France as the prohibitive favorite to advance and win the group. And then between Peru and Denmark, it really is a coin flip. I wouldn't be surprised either way who advances there. Australia would make a game of it and could possibly knock out Denmark or Peru if they manage to get a draw with one of them. So that could be the difference between who advances and who goes home. But it's definitely going to be one of the more interesting groups to take a look at. So that would be one of my recommendations of a group to keep an eye out for during the World Cup. Moving on to Group D, you've got Argentina, Croatia, Nigeria, and Iceland. You know, people have been downgrading Iceland ever since they made their run in the Euro 2016. I actually like Iceland. I do think that even though Gylfi Sigurdsson has fallen off the mark ever since that Euro 2016 run, you know, certain guys just play well in tournament aspects versus club competition. And I think Sigurdsson's one of them. Iceland is figured to be One of the weaker pairings, but I think they have a legitimate shot at making it to the group stage. I'm not that sold on Croatia, to be honest, even though I know that's been one of the popular picks. And to me, Argentina is one of the biggest targets to be a surprise to miss out on the group stage. Argentina barely qualified for this World Cup. I know they have Messi. Believe me, everyone knows Argentina has Messi. But if you look at that squad, there's a lot of older guys and a lot of unproven guys. Sergio Aguero, as great as he is for club competition, has not shown that kind of track record once it comes to tournament play. And Angel Di Maria is one of the most overrated players in soccer. I struggle at times seeing where Di Maria gets as much pub as he does. I mean, to me, he's even a worse version of Mesut Ozil. And believe me, as an Arsenal fan, Ozil drives me up the wall. The fact that I got more years with Ozil, let me not even go down that route. But suffice to say, do I think Argentina's going to win this group? Yes. Would it shock me if Argentina didn't make qualify out of this group? No, because, like I said, a one-man team that has to carry an entire squad, there's a lot of pressure associated with that. The reason why I think Argentina is still going to advance is that traditionally, African teams such as Nigeria do not play well in European-based World Cups. With this being based in Russia, they tend to have more difficulties with the time zone difference. I don't necessarily like Nigeria in this group. And in terms of Croatia, Luka Modric, is going to be the mainstay looking at it. But if you're trying to sell me on a backline that includes Dejan Lovren, I think that there's some cause for concern with Croatia. I'll just leave it at that. I'm not sold on Croatia being as deep as people think they are. I think that backline has a glaring hole in it. Mandzukic and Perisic, they've got the attacking options. I'm not questioning the offense. It's the defense that I have legitimate concerns about. And I think if Iceland can play a nice ball possession type of game and slow down, I think they can actually get a win against Croatia, and that would dramatically shift this group around. I'm not sold on Croatia with this pairing, and like I said, Argentina has holes. This group may not be able to expose them, but in the knockout stage, it will definitely get exposed. So that's my thoughts on Group D. Moving on to Group E, that features Brazil, Switzerland, Serbia, and Costa Rica. Costa Rica is one of the darling dark horses in the tournament. It's a kind of like an upset, trendy upset pick that you see Costa Rica being in play for possibly knocking off a team here and getting themselves in the mix to possibly advance to the group stage. You've got Switzerland and Serbia, two also very good squads that have a legit chance of qualifying. So this is one of the other rumored group of death pairings where, outside of Brazil, it's a wide open contest, in my opinion. I think that this is a case where between Costa Rica and Switzerland, they're probably it's going to be the difference. But, Serbia's got Dusan Tadic and Nemanja Matic. Mitrovic, they've got talent to actually make it through. You've got a couple of folks on Costa Rica between Christian Gamboa and Joel Campbell that could actually do some damage. Brian Ruiz, a striker, is always dangerous from a cup of competition standpoint with his speed. Shaqiri on Switzerland can do marvelous things. He can also do some head-scratching moves that leave you befuddled. And Granit Xhaka, all the talent in the world, not the brightest guy. As an Arsenal supporter, I can firmly attest to that, given the fact that he racks up cards like nobody's business. So Switzerland is definitely a wild card here. Like I said, I definitely think that Costa Rica has a chance here. Ultimately, though, I think it's probably going to end up being Brazil and Serbia getting through. But, you know, there's ample opportunity for all three of those runner-ups to get past. And as far as Brazil goes, you know, I don't agree with the betting line that makes Brazil the prohibitive favorite to win the World Cup. I think there's a number of issues, specifically the fact that Neymar, no one knows his true status. Out of this entire group, I actually think Willian is their best player. They got Gabriel Jesus, they've got Coutinho, but I still think Willian is actually their best player. The problem is that I don't think Willian is actually going to get nearly as much featured service as people think they should. I think it's still going to be the Neymar show in terms of how they set up this team, and I just think that's a mistake. But, you know, be that as it may, we'll see how Group E performs and how Brazil sets itself up. But I just think that it's ripe for a situation where Brazil shoots itself in the foot yet again with how they set up their team and going into the knockout stages. So moving on to Group F, you've got Germany, Sweden, Mexico, and South Korea. You know, people are saying that this is a toss-up between Mexico and Sweden. Mexico, by and large, it's pretty much been a lock that when it comes to European-based World Cups, Mexico is a no-show. I just don't see where the love for Mexico is coming this year. You know, yes, they've got Chicharito, but I'm not really in love with CONCACAF in general. I mean, yes, Costa Rica has played well, but outside of that, CONCACAF was not a very good group this year. Highlighted by the fact that the U.S. is not part of the World Cup this year. It was a weak CONCACAF, and, you know, it's one where I think Costa Rica is actually the best CONCACAF team, but, you know, Mexico actually won CONCACAF, but I think there were other factors involved with Mexico winning CONCACAF, but that's a story for another time and not really worth going further details on. But South Korea, you know, they have a puncher's chance, but I just think that in terms of, you know, if Korea Messi's his Heung-min Song, if he has a monster group stage, South Korea has a puncher's chance. And Son definitely has that capability and the speed to do it. But I just think in the long and short of it, I think Sweden has a well-rounded enough squad to get through the group stage. I still think Sweden might have benefited from having Zlatan Ibrahimovic on the squad. But, you know, they made the decision to go young. So we're going to see what Berg and Toivonen have in line. Because Seb Larsson's going to provide the service. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still look at this as a case where Sweden has the in for making out of group stage. I mean, there's not much else you could say with Germany, or I would even say essentially Bayern Munich plus Mesut Ozil and Boateng, because. Germany just is just it's a beast unto itself. You got all the main names from Bayern Munich, but you've got a strong squad there. To me, the biggest weakness on Germany is the fact that it's a very staid system. You know what you're getting with Germany, but they execute it very well. I mean, you're not going to get surprised by Germany. You know, if you didn't set up for Germany, you're going to get punished. But if you set up well and you actually execute the game plan, you can beat Germany. I just look at it from a technical standpoint. Germany is one of those squads that absolutely can win the World Cup because of the fact that they're always going to do what is needed. It's a very straight to the point, no frills kind of approach to it. I would say that Germany definitely is in the top three in my picks to actually win the World Cup, just because of the standpoint of, you know what you're going to get. It's just a matter of who their matchup pairings end up being in the knockout stages that's going to determine if they get to the semifinals and into the finals. If they can avoid Spain or Portugal, Germany should be in a good spot. I would very much like Germany's chances if they ended up paired up against Brazil. To me, Germany is one of those squads that can match up very well against certain pairings. If it's a deeper squad that actually has a more tactical background, then Germany runs into some difficulties breaking them down and has to rely on getting this into a PK situation or getting a break on a set piece. But outside of that, I still think that Germany, overall, when you look at guys like Mueller, Sami Khedira, you can naturally see a little bit of creativity. Not a lot, but at least spits and spurts here and there that should be able to carry them through the knockout stages. Moving on to Group G, and the most, well, I shouldn't say the most overhyped group, the two most overhyped group teams in the World Cup highlight this Group G. You've got Belgium and England. They're both going to advance. You got Tunisia and Panama. They have no shot at advancing. Let's get into England. Led by Harry Kane himself. They've got Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, Danny Rose. You got Lingard, Dele Alli. You know, all the main names from the Premier League and Jordan Pickford in net. The biggest issue with England is the fact that, by and large, this team does not play with an edge. They've been bullied off the ball in cup competitions. That's what doomed them in Euro. We're going to see what kind of approach that they take this time around. I think Jordan Henderson gets picked apart quite a bit in the press because of how he manages the midfield. We're going to see how this all works out, because if they go with that 3-5-2 lineup and try to clog up the middle, I just do not see it working. I think that team needs creativity up top, and just leaving it up to Harry Kane and Sterling to create chances, you know, I just think that they're better served going at it from a different approach. I could be wrong on this, but I feel as though Roy Hodgson could do better with the tactics that... Oh, I said Roy Hodgson. I meant Gareth Southgate. I'm thinking of past England managers. Just because it... You know what? To me, with England, the tactics are so predictable at this point that I just meld the names together, because it doesn't seem to be who the name of the manager is. It seems like it's the same tactics being rolled out World Cup, every World Cup. So, you know, I would like to be more optimistic about England's chances. I just don't see it happening. Now we talk about the other overhyped team in this group, Belgium. The golden generation with Eden Hazard, Lukaku, Kevin De Bruyne, Vertonghen, I mean, Toby Alderweireld, Boyata. Literally, Belgium has the deepest squad in the World Cup. I honestly think that. I think they have a better squad than France and Brazil. Here's the thing. No one believes in Roberto Martinez in his tactics. Belgium constantly underachieves, and they have the most unproven manager guiding them. No one believes that Martinez has the answer once they get into the group, to the knockout stages, to make a deep run. I would like to see Belgium make a run one of these years, because this is probably the end of the window for this generation, and with the amount of talent that Belgium has had. The fact that they haven't made it to the semifinals of a World Cup or any European-based competition is embarrassing. They really need this. They don't need to win the World Cup. They just need to make a deep run to justify this generation, because it's time. It's well past time. It's literally closing time. But, you know, at the end of the day, they just gotta get it done. You know, it's not a matter of tactics at this point, even though I think Martinez's tactics will probably end up screwing them in the end. But they have more than enough talent to at least overcome the tactics up to a point to make a deep run in this tournament. The fact, if they don't get it done, you know, I just think it's an indictment on a number of players and their overall legacy. People complain about Messi not winning a tournament with Argentina. Argentina, by and large, the talent pool was not nearly as deep as what you would see with some of these other countries. So I think it's a little bit unfair on Messi's end, but, you know, that's, again, a story for another time. But Belgium has absolutely zero excuses, in my opinion, if they don't make it to a semifinals in this World Cup. They got way too many players on this squad to actually be in a position that they're not going to go deep in the club competition. So we're going to see. But, you know, I just look at this as this is their last chance, and it's their best chance of winning a World Cup. So we'll see how it goes. And then last but not least, we have Group H with Colombia, Poland, Japan, and Senegal. This is one of those groups where, again, you got two teams and possibly three teams vying for that second spot. I'm not a big fan of Senegal because, as I said, African clubs tend to not perform well on the European World Cup stage. I think a lot of it has to do with the time zone differences, but, you know, there could be other factors involved, but, it's just not one where I can see this being a case where Senegal makes a serious run at it. Japan has an outside chance of making it in with Shinji Kagawa. You know, they got a puncher's chance. They're just going to have to play a very smart tactical game and hit teams on the counterattack. Colombia is not as good as it was 4 years ago. They're a much slower team than in years past, but they should be able to win this group. It's just a matter of can they manage the pace and just use James Rodriguez and Cuadrado to give service to Falcao up top. They should win this group. I'm not worried about them winning the group. I just don't see them moving anywhere past in the knockout stages. I think they get knocked out as soon as they win their group. But, you know, there were a lot of squads here. Colombia could be a dark horse. I don't see it happening this go around. The quarterfinal run 4 years ago was a very, very entertaining brand of soccer to watch. But I don't see it happening this go around. It's a different squad. It's an older squad. So I just don't see them being able to play that style of play. As far as Poland goes, it's as far as Robert Lewandowski can actually take them. That's really what it comes down to, in my opinion. If Lewandowski has a great World Cup, they're gonna make it to the knockout stages. I just don't think they can go much further past that point. But that's where their ceiling is. So they definitely have a solid chance of finishing up second in their group. It does it for the group stages. As far as the knockout stages, we'll see how the group pairings set up. But I would still estimate that the most likely scenario in terms of winning the World Cup, I would say lean towards you've got Portugal, Germany, and also I would give credence to the fact that France definitely has a strong enough squad. Even though you've got Pogba, most likely getting them into a couple of tight positions here and there in the knockout stages. I definitely feel France has a very legitimate chance of winning. I'm more down on Spain than I was a few days ago, just because of, you know, firing your manager right before the World Cup is an act of insanity, in my opinion. But, you know, they did what they did. And like I said, I think Brazil's chances are overinflated by the odds makers. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. I just think it's a lot of added hype to it that I, you know, I'm not convinced yet. We'll see how Neymar looks, but I'm not sold on this yet. But it should be a very interesting tournament. It's a wide open field, in my opinion. You got at least six teams capable of winning the World Cup this year, which is it's a higher mark than most years, in my opinion. But I definitely feel as though you've got a chance for a possible dark horse to sneak in there and make some noise. And, you know, like I said, this is Belgium's last and best chance of winning a World Cup. Do I think it'll happen? Absolutely not. But it's still a good fighter's chance, just given the squad that they have. But we shall see, and I will most certainly be enjoying the World Cup this year, and I hope you will too. So thanks for listening to the show today, and enjoy the games, everyone.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.